Debbie taught me how to do the tune earlier, but no shame on her for how poorly I named it. I nailed it. Last night, Congregant Jack Holloway and others hosted a despair sanctuary at Old First Reformed in Park Slope. They offered all who are in mourning, in the throes of depression, rage, finding no signs of hope, an evening to hold space together for what is unbearable alone. I intended to go, but unfortunately had a pretty strong reaction to my flu COVID shots on Friday, so I was unable to do much more than lay on the couch, holding my own despair sanctuary at home. But I heard it was well attended and powerful, and it strikes me we need more spaces like that. We need more space for, to use the old-fashioned language, lament. During the fall season of challenge at St. Lydia's, we've been invited to hold hearts of stone as a physical manifestation of all the toxic, negative, harmful stuff we experience in our lives. Some of it we cause. Some of it comes unbidden and unwelcome from others, be it family or friends, or from the state of the world at this moment. The reading for tonight from Lamentation speaks of hearts twice. Our heart's joy is no more, verse 15. And our heart is anguished, verse 17. Lamentations is the stone heart of the fall season. After 3 weeks focused on the prophet Jeremiah and his weeping, his sorrow over the impending destruction of Jerusalem, we spend this week with Lamentations before turning to 3 weeks with the prophet Ezekiel to finish the fall season. Lamentations is traditionally said to be written by Jeremiah as a lament over the destruction of Jerusalem. Some notes about the book. God never speaks in Lamentations. Each chapter is a poem of lament in the form of an acrostic. Each chapter has 22 verses, the number of letters in the Hebrew language, and verses start one after the other with all the letters, from Aleph to Tav. It's as if the author wanted to say in poetic form, these laments encompass all the suffering, all that has gone wrong in our lives and in the world. Although scripture is full of poems of lament, Christians officially avoid them. Lamentations show up only once in the three-year lectionary of scripture texts for the church's worship. It's a sign for Holy Saturday. Because of that placement, it's rarely ever heard by congregations. But shirking the role of lament, putting it in 1 week, or even one day, does not match the immensity of sorrow we carry in our bodies, in our hearts. Our Jewish siblings do better. Jews read, they chant actually, the whole book of Lamentations on the fast day of Tisha B'Av, the ninth month of Av, which falls usually in July or August. It's a day of mourning the destruction of both the first temple by the Babylonians in 586 BCE and the second temple by the Romans in 70 CE. When chanted in liturgy, Jewish tradition reflects that verse 22 may be too grim a note with which to end on, and so verse 21, bring us back to you, is repeated again to conclude the reading. I've shared in the past about my dad's close friend and colleague, Zaire Eyal, who along with his wife, Yona, and children, Effie and Tally, from Tel Aviv, grew up with me during multiple year-long sabbaticals in Bozeman, where I grew up. Zaire died young of cancer, yet I think of Yona and of Effie and Tally amidst the horrific spasm of violence between Palestinians and Israelis this weekend. The personal relationships bring home the horror of geopolitics far away from here. Tonight I want to make space for us to hold the truth that here in Lamentations, God does not speak. God does not come quickly to rescue us, Together we sing and pray and eat, holding space to acknowledge all that is hard, all that hurts, all that has turned hearts to stone in this life. It is enough to know we have songs to sing together in this space of sorrow. Like Zion, Zion, how long, O Lord, shall we wait to see you? Crazy to like preach on lament and then you make everyone fall into hysterics by your bass playing. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, so let's hold a moment of silence.